You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
De Tour de France. Onze Franse SBS-collega Christophe Mallet zit op dit moment in de Alpen voor de laatste dagen van de Tour de France. Aanstaande zondag is de laatste etappe en het is dit jaar wel heel spannend, want er kunnen nog steeds meerdere renners winnen. En dat is een lange tijd niet het geval geweest. De Nederlander Steven Kruiswijk is een van de favorieten. Hij staat op de derde plaats in het algemeen klassement. Mijn collega Frans Warfemius sprak met Christophe over het verslaan van de Tour en het feit dat het nog steeds volledig onduidelijk is wie er gaat winnen.
Yeah, and this is what can be said, you know, at the moment, even if we don't know who the winner is going to be when we record this little chat, you and me. But what we know is that we've had so much excitement. And a lot of things have happened. Multiple stage wins for Australian team like Mitchelton.
Yeah.
Jumbo-Visma, for you guys, has done very well.
Yeah.
So it's been such an exciting tour. And the route was exciting when we saw it back in October, but it delivered so much great entertainment, because sport is an entertainment after all.
And as you said, it can be an Australian win, it can be a Dutch win, it can be a France win.
I don't think we'll see an Australian win. That's the thing. We won't see an Australian winning sadly this year, because Port has been outsmarted. Let's say it, and then we should not be scared to say it. But certainly, the fever is so great that the fact that it's not going to be a tour like any others we saw before with Chris Froome or Geraint Thomas. So, you know, it's whoever the winner is.
Yeah.
It's going to live in the memory as an exciting tour, because it's been litten on the roads by so many great attacks, so many great cycling. It's been alive,
yeah.
You know? It's like the Tour de France has become alive after being dormant for so many years.
Yeah, and two stage wins for Australia with Caleb Ewan.
Yep, Caleb Ewan was, you know what, it's not a surprise, but it's more of a relief. This is what was left for us. There's yet Paris as well. He can still win in Paris.
Yeah.
But this moment was so great when he won his first stage, and winning the second as well. If you saw all the images of his wife coming with his baby, the baby came out earlier. So they had a lot of health problems with the baby, but being here, you know, with his wife. For him, the man is, I mean, he could be on the moon. He would be exactly the same.
Yeah, and this is his first tour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's his first tour, and he had a bit of a troubled road to come to the tour. Mitchelton Scott should have taken him last year and told him very late before the tour that he was not coming. So that's mainly why he left the team. But he found in Soudal Lhoto a new home, a new teammate, and he's definitely developing into something extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's only the beginning we're hearing from Caleb Ewan.
Yeah. In one of your last podcasts, you were asking a colleague of yours about, your work for the television compared to the work as the cyclists are doing. Is that, what is harder, yours or the cyclists? How is this for you?
That was Torushov, actually. And I would say definitely the cyclists. When I see the weather we've been having, the heat wave we recently had, 41 degrees, you would not catch me on a bike. You know, it's absolutely crazy, especially when they go through three peaks over 2,000 meters. It's just absolutely unreal. But it's true, and we're not complaining when we're saying this, but it's true that the Tour de France is a tough gig for journalists as well. As it stands, I'm close to 7,000 kilometers, which is almost double the actual route for the Tour de France. So it's a lot of riding, a lot of hotel rooms, a lot of non-resting, and even rest days, you work also a lot during rest days. So it's not a complaint at all. We all love it, but it's not as an easy gig as a lot of people could think.
Yeah, but can you give me a description of a day in the Tour for you? Yourself.
Yeah, it's easy. Wake up at about 7:30. Breakfast, quick meeting on what we're doing during the day, and usually the crew. So the crew is eight people. We usually split half and half. There's half of the crew that goes directly to the finish, because they open the stage on your TV at around 9:30 p.m. in Australia.
Yeah.
And so they go directly to the finish line, and then the other part of the crew, which I'm part of, we go to the start, and then we do all the latest news, all the last-minute interviews that you will see in the program.
Yeah.
Then we drive to the finish line, and then at the finish line, we relax for 10-15 minutes, and then we bang start again into getting the finish line. So be at the back of the finish line. So we are one of those journalists you see running around the cyclist, trying to put our mic or getting the question. Because this is the beauty of this sport compared to football or tennis. The riders are available immediately.
Yep.
They cross the line within 25 meters after the line. They're ready to talk.
Yeah.
And it's very rare they push you away. And this is the name of the business. And then after that, you go to the bus, and then you can have a further chat. So that's what's important for the broadcast. We bring that back to the truck. We finish the live broadcast. And then Dave McKenzie and me, we then record the podcast.
Yeah.
And once this podcast is recorded, you know what I'm talking about. I have to edit it and send it.
Yep.
And then we drive to the next hotel.
Yeah.
And where we usually arrive around 9:30, then we have dinner, then bed, and then start again.
Yeah.
That's the day.
Yeah. And you have to be quick all the time. There are deadlines and deadlines and deadlines, because you have to be earlier at the finish than the cyclists.
Yes, it happened to me once this year where, believe it or not, on a 200-kilometer stage, the cyclist beat me. And they beat me not because I've been lazy. They beat me because the traffic was horrendous. And then we got stuck multiple times on the motorway, and the cyclist rider actually beat me by 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
So that gives you the... Because after we leave, we are left into the, inverted commas, normal traffic.
Yeah.
And this is not closed roads, you know, and the normal traffic is, you know, how it is in Europe.
Yeah.
Can be chaotic sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a bit stressful that day, but we did it in the end.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what about yourself? Are you a cyclist yourself?
I do a little bit, but not at any level of anyone riding this race, or even my co-host Dave McKenzie.
Yeah.
Because Dave's toured the Giro. He's won a stage at the Giro.
Yeah.
So no, but I commute. I'm a cyclist commuter, but I'm also probably like most of the Dutch people. I'm a cyclist enthusiast.
Well,
that's what I just love. I just love cycling.
Yeah, but I mean the difference. Yes, I'm a cyclist myself, but then cycling in Australia. Man, that wasn't easy.
No, it's not. It's actually quite dangerous, I think. And until there's a big talk about it, but the authorities need to get their act together if they want to get the cyclist on board. Because I know some of the infrastructure are here, and I know I can get a lot of people not happy with what I'm saying. But we need more roads for cyclists.
Yeah, story, definitely.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you explain the enthusiasm about the broadcasts about the Tour de France here in Australia?
I think what we don't realize in Australia necessarily is how lucky we are to have the Tour de France at the time where we have the Tour de France. It's, 9:30, usually 9 o'clock p.m. in Australia. It's prime time TV. And then when you realize in Europe it's not, it's during the day. People are at work, believe it or not, in France. Sometimes they work.
Yeah.
People are on holidays. It's a daytime, so you not necessarily have the time to watch the race. But in Australia, you can, because you already have your work day, you already have your dinner, you know, you're ready to be entertained. And then this is what it's all about, you know.
Yeah. And then talking about L'Étape Australia, and that is in conjunction with the organization of the Tour de France. How did this come about?
L'Étape Australia, L'Étape actually for that matter, is something they always do. There's one pretty much in a lot of countries. And so France has had it for a few number of years now. And it came to Australia as well 3 or 4 years ago. And the idea is to give the opportunity to the general public, the enthusiasts, to do a stage under the condition of the Tour de France. So it's a road closed, you get a big bunch, but it's also very relaxed. And this year you've got two cyclists that are going to be running and riding this thing. There's Mathieu Heyman, the Australian, and there's Amanda Spratt as well. Amanda Spratt, she's brilliant, by the way. She's an extremely good cyclist. number three in the world. So if you talk, if anyone that is a cyclist fancy to have a big long ride and simulate a bit of a Tour de France stage, you have to keep your pace. It's not at a crazy pace as the Tour de France, but then this is the story behind Etappe, is to involve the people into something that is a bit lookalike, a stage.
Okay, and it is for enthusiasts, not just professionals.
No, it's absolutely for enthusiasts. You need to cycle a little bit though, because I think the distance is over 200k. And there's some really good climbs in there.
Yeah.
So it's not for your just market Sunday riders. You need to be in a bit of a shape, but it's really for enthusiasts, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So it's nearly ending for you. I mean, when we broadcast this, it's going to be the Saturday midday, and you will then be in the almost last etap. How will that be?
All I know is that I am sure that by the time you broadcast this, the Tour de France will not be finished. You know, the last stage with the last few climbs, potentially the last climb, my prediction is this Tour de France will be played out for you on Saturday tonight. It will be played out on the last stage. This is when we will know the winner, not before.
Okay. Well, possible. I mean, because the last stage at the around the Arc de Triomphe, that has been always or looks like okay. Everything is already clear. The winner is.
It's called a procession. The last stage is called a procession. It's basically celebrating the winner of the Tour de France. There's a gentleman's agreement that really no one attacks. On that last stage, it's the peloton bringing the winner back to Paris. And then there is a race, which usually ends up as a sprint because of the nature of the circus. They do 11 laps of the Champs-Élysées. So it's for the public to see the riders. It's a celebration of the winners. So
yeah.
Generally, was not the case in 89, but generally, the winner on a Saturday night, the one that has the last jersey on the Saturday night, is the winner of the Tour de France. Doesn't change on Sunday.
All right, so that's a gentleman's agreement.
We're talking about sprints, and this is where we all cross fingers, we all hope to see Caleb Ewan winning his third stage in his Tour de France.
Okay, well, imagine this is Sunday afternoon, and then it will all be over. So then, what happens to you?
I'm lucky enough to take 2 weeks off. That's what I do. I need my 2 weeks off. I go and see my family, and then I'm back at work, basically.
Well, Christophe, I wish you all the best, and enjoy the last days at the Tour de France. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, and you never know when this is broadcasted. Cruise bike might be in yellow. We'll see.
sbs.com.au